Don't know what your house is like or the run-up to Christmas, but does seem to be that time of year with dilemmas. What's the right thing to do? What's the wrong thing to do? And maybe some of you wondered what Christmas jumper to wear to the service this morning. I'm afraid I think some of you made the right decision. But maybe you're sitting there, maybe you've got a dilemma right now. Maybe you're wondering, did I turn the oven on? Or did I turn the oven off? Or did I turn it up or did I turn it down? And what about who to invite? And more to the point, who not to invite? But what about how much to spend? And what about how much to eat and how much to drink? Remember last year, the mistake you made? Let's have a look at the next slide. And then there's the do we or don't we give them presents people? Do you know those people? And you go, oh, no, we don't. We stopped doing that a few years ago. Oh, phew. And then they give you one. Mine's at home, actually. And then if you are married like me, what do you buy the wife? Well, this year has been quite a big year in our house. All the kids have flown the nest. They're back for Christmas, but they've all gone off to college. So I decided it was a special year and I needed to, put a lot of thought into it, something really romantic, because it's been hard on Jane. So there you go. I have bought her a rug. Now, I know there's a lot of wives out there and you're thinking, I didn't get a rug. it's not that exact rug, to be specific. It's not as grand as that, but yeah, Jane's got a rug for Christmas, okay? Now, the very first Christmas was no different. There were plenty of dilemmas. We've already seen it in that little DVD clip, and especially for Joseph. But I'm not talking about the trivial dilemmas I've just mentioned. I'm talking about he is betrothed to Mary, and he finds out she's pregnant. They've entered this engagement time, when back then it was as good as marriage. And the time of engagement really was one of the reasons, was a test of the partner's purity and honesty and integrity towards them. So you can imagine the dilemma for Joseph when he finds out Mary is pregnant. I mean, imagine it today. Imagine a couple today being engaged and the woman gets pregnant and her fiancé is not the father. I mean, Mary, no doubt, she pleaded with Joseph to trust her, because Joseph, there's no other man, I promise you. And there'll never be another man. What's conceived of me, it's of the Holy Spirit. And also, Joseph, can I tell you, he's also the Son of God. He's to be the Savior who will reign for all eternity. You imagine being Joseph and what is going on in his head. Now, to me, Joseph is one of the unsung heroes of the Christmas story that often gets overlooked. Even horrible Herod, he seems to manage a bigger profile than poor old Joseph. And then we've got the next two. There you go, there's the innkeeper. We even have, some churches even do whole plays about him. Can you imagine that? And there's the donkey. And they're not even mentioned. It's okay, they were probably there, just in case you're upset. But what about Joseph? How do you think he felt? Was he heartbroken? Was he angry? Was he confused? Well, we don't know, but what we do know is we know he's got the law on his side. And because he's got the law on his side, what had happened to Mary getting pregnant, he could have caused a whole lot of great shame and trouble for Mary. But Joseph decides against it. We're told that he's a righteous, law-abiding man. And instead, he plans to limit the hurt and the harm to Mary as much as possible. He thinks about it really carefully, we're told. And he decides he's going to divorce her quietly. But then this angel appears to him, confirming every single thing that Mary said about the baby, and more, telling him that this baby, he was to name Jesus, who would save his people from their sins. Also telling him, let's have a look at the next slide, that this baby was Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, he's also told as well don't worry, Joseph, go home and marry her, because it's all going to be fine. Seriously? Joseph wakes from his dream, wondering what on earth he ate last night, why he had that cheese and wine, due to the weirdest of dreams, those ridiculous voices, especially the ridiculous voice that was telling him to do exactly the opposite of what he had decided and what he thought was best. No, there's none of that. None of that. We just read that he does a complete U-turn. He obeys the voice that he heard. So what he thought was best is out the window. Imagine Mary's joy and relief. Imagine her going to Joseph and saying, "Oh, well, why the sudden change? Why the big change of heart?" But he couldn't tell her, could he, about a dream and an angel appearing. She would think he was, oh, what would she think? What do you do when you've got a dilemma? Let's have a look at the next slide. Do you message your friend? Do you have a meltdown? Do you freak out? Do you post the problem online seeking advice? Do you bury your head in the sand? Because there's so many voices out there ready to give every single one of us advice, whatever we're facing. No doubt if Joseph had gone to others, some of his friends, some of his family, they'd have had conflicting advice. He could have gone to some of his mates and perhaps they'd have said, "Oh, well, just get on with it. Just marry her. Gives you free license to go and play the field as well whenever you like, by the way." What about telling his family, "Right, come on, right now. Let's go round to Mary's parents' house and sort this out once and for all." Maybe he took it to the church leaders. Maybe he would have done that. Maybe they'd have been really rash and jumped to harmful, hurtful decisions, naming and shaming her. But not our Joseph. He doesn't go to anyone. He listens to one voice. And that's God's voice through the angel, who told him all about Jesus. And that one voice changed everything. Please, everyone, please hear this, whoever you are this morning. Because for a whole load of us, but maybe not for you, but for a whole load of us here this morning, the very first time God spoke to us about Jesus, or more to the point, the very first time we were listening to God speak to us about Jesus, because you know he speaks to us all the time. All the time he's trying to tell us of Jesus. In this service right now, he's telling us all about his greatest gift ever, his son Jesus. And so the first time we listened and we understood who Jesus really was, it changed everything for us. Because there's no voice like God's. Because there is no Savior like Jesus. Joseph was told, "Call him Jesus." Why? Because he'll save his people from their sins. Well, maybe you think, well, what did that mean to Joseph? That meant everything. Joseph was a godly, righteous man. He was praying, longing for the Messiah to come. He'd read and he'd have heard all the promises prophesied in the Old Testament that Messiah was coming. But now, not just any time, right now to them. Not just anywhere in the world, to the very place they were in. And not just to anyone, but to his very own fiancée, Mary. Joseph, growing up, would have read the scriptures. He'd have been taught them as a little boy. He'd have known these words from Isaiah chapter 7 there in verse 23. Well, what a year 2016 has been. So many voices trying to demand your attention, my attention, promising us all goodness knows what. We've had Brexit. We've had all our major parties have had leadership campaigns, changes. The US elections, the FIFA scandals back earlier in the year, Syria and its ongoing chaos affecting so much of the Middle East. But maybe for you, maybe you've personally faced dilemmas. Maybe you've had different voices speak into your life. You've needed to make some big decisions and you chatted with friends, you've chatted with family, you've chatted with your parents, children, neighbours, your boss, and perhaps you've got some great advice. Maybe you've got some hopeless advice. But as we close, I just want to ask us all this big question. In all the dilemmas we faced, you ever thought about listening to God's voice like Joseph did? How can we do that, you say? How do you listen to God's voice? Is it just going out for a walk in the field and you hear some? No. We listen to God's voice by listening to his son, Jesus. That's how God speaks to us today. That's why God sent his son. It was the greatest message, the greatest voice proclaiming the greatest truths ever. That by Jesus' birth, by Jesus' life, by Jesus' death, by Jesus' resurrection, God spoke what? God spoke to every single one of us that he loves us, that he wants a relationship with us, that he offers forgiveness, that he offers us a different way of living. And it's why this miracle of the first Christmas is celebrated by millions over the world. Because we believe it to be the greatest miracle that actually was true. We believe it to be the only way we can get peace with God. Out of all the voices in this world, there's only one voice, I'm convinced, that makes sense 100% of the time, and that's God's voice in the form of Jesus. I see it in my job. It's a real privilege. I see lives who listen to God for the first time, who work out and understand who Jesus actually was. He was God's son. He did come to save us. I see lives that are hopeless, then filled with hope. I see lives that are going nowhere, now going everywhere. I see lives that have got no purpose previously and now they have a real purpose to live. I even witness and I see relationships amongst friends and family that are chaotic and broken. And yet the voice of Jesus Christ brings healing and changes all that. Do you know what is one of the most powerful things? I see people. And some of you are sitting here and you have been through the toughest of years. And yet I've seen you trust in the name of Jesus and listen to his voice. And it's got you through those dark times. Let's have a look at the last slide. 2017 will be like all other years, different choices, different dilemmas. But who are you listening to? Jesus' name above all names, the one who came to save from sin, giving hope. That's why we need to be like Jesus. That's why we need to be like Joseph, who listened to God and all that he was saying about his son Jesus. We need to stop trusting other voices. We need to stop trusting in substitute saviors. There's no voice that delivers like God's voice. There's no savior that saves and rescues. I mean, you may have had an amazing year. But maybe something's happened for you job-wise, finance-wise, relationship-wise. Have you found anyone, anything that can deal with all your hurts? That can deal with all your past? That can offer you forgiveness for all eternity?